Well, normally, on the first Sunday in January, what kind of a sermon do we usually get? Some point, someone standing on a stage with a microphone is going to say, "So, how many of you have made New Year's resolutions already? And how many of you have already broken those New Year's resolutions?" Today is not that day. We are not looking at New Year's. We are not done with Christmas. You might be surprised by that, but we are not done with Christmas. Christmas started just last week. And we are still in that season. And we need to still spend time in that season, making space for God with us, in us. We're not done that. Today is the eighth day of Christmas. And I would like to thank all of you for not bringing me 8 maids milking as a present today. That was very considerate and thoughtful. I really appreciate that. Today in the church liturgical calendar is the feast, or what's known as, or called the Feast of Mary. Today is the day in the calendar where the church would have stopped to focus on Mary. And we think, well, of course we'd focus on Mary. She's the mother of God. She gets some sort of recognition. But when you look at all that we do at Christmas and the nativity scene and the plays and all these sorts of things, Mary doesn't get a lot of lines. She doesn't get a lot of focus. We talk about the angels, we talk about the shepherds, we talk about the wise fellows, we talk about, but all of these things, and Mary, kind of, even though she's the second central person in the narrative, gets a lovely blue dress that matches what Jesus is always seen wearing, and she gets to sit in front of a manger, and she gets to hold the baby. And that's what she gets. We don't give Mary a lot of thought. But this morning, as we're in the middle of Christmas season, we're moving towards Epiphany. We stop here on this eighth day to talk about Mary. Now, the eighth day in the Jewish church, in the Jewish calendar, this is the day where children would have been brought to the temple to be presented and given their name. So on this day, Mary and Joseph have taken Jesus to the temple to name him, to give him the name Jesus, which is what God told them to give him. And at the temple, they encounter Simeon, who has been waiting his entire life to see the promise that God has given him fulfilled. For God said, "Simeon, you will not die before seeing my Messiah come." And he's old. And I think maybe a little blind, possibly deaf, but he's certainly not moving a whole lot. And into his circle comes this 8-day-old baby. And he rejoices. And he says, "Give me that child." And Mary hands over the child, which, okay, so how many moms would have handed your child over to complete stranger when they're 8 days old? As a father, I have, and I got in trouble, but this is unusual. And Simeon holds it, and he praises God. And there's a prophetess nearby named Anna, who is in the same boat looking for the Messiah, and she praises God. For here is Jesus, now named God with us, and Mary saying nothing through all of that. And as we move from today, moving forward, we will end up in Epiphany. And Epiphany is that moment in that space where the incarnation is celebrated, but also the manifestation of God is celebrated. And Epiphany points us to the baptism of Jesus. Epiphany points us to the Magi arriving and recognizing not just this baby that is born, but the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, worthy of all praise and glory. Epiphany, as we're looking forward to that season now. And we're in the middle here of Christmas, still, looking at Mary. Now, what do you imagine when you think about Mary? Do you think much, do you imagine what kind of a person does she come across to you as? Have you ever thought about what her life was like before the angels or the angel came and said and mentioned her? We don't know much about Mary. Her name doesn't pop up until an angel arrives in this backwater town to a young girl who's engaged to be married to a young carpenter. And she's going about her daily business, whatever it is that she's doing, probably smiling because it seems characteristic, but I'm not sure how you see her, but doing these things, and all of a sudden in the middle of this we have the angel show up and her life changes in a radical, radical way. And I think of all that Mary is, and I wonder, you know, her background and what she's about and who she was and how did she converse with her parents? Did she have siblings? Did she not have siblings? Did she have a job? Did she work well with us? You know, what was she like? All these sorts of things. And it leads me to ask a question at this point in time, in this season, that doesn't deal with those things, but it brings me into my thought process to ask the question, why Mary? Have you thought about why her? Out of all of the women, out of all of time, who could have borne the Son of God, why Mary? Have you ever asked that question? Have you pondered that? Maybe it's just, it could be just me. But we're going to ponder that together. Why Mary? What is it about her that prompts God to choose her? I don't think there's an answer to that question. I don't think that we can give a satisfied response there because we don't know Mary well. We don't know all that went into making her. We don't know all that went into God's choice. We just know that God chose her. And we can look at what we do know of Mary and we can extrapolate some character traits that I believe are significant and important to why Mary. And I want to share three of those with you this morning. The first character trait, the first part of her character and understanding who she is faith. Mary was a woman of faith. And not just passing faith, not just sort of faith, but deep and abiding faith. And my reason for coming to this conclusion is that I can't believe that God would choose someone for this significant of a thing who did not have a deep and abiding faith in who God was and who God is. Because the message coming from the angel would have gotten a completely different response. Let's look at that encounter. So Mary's going about her daily thing. The angel comes and he says, wonderful, fantastic words of great comfort. And he says, greetings you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. And what's Mary's response? Oh, great. That's fantastic. I love it. No, her response is she is greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But note this, she doesn't run. Step one. Second thing, then the angel gives the greeting that he always gives to everybody. Don't be afraid. I think he should start with that every time, but don't be afraid. For you have found favor with God. And then he gives the message. This is what God is going to do through you, Mary. And this is where the faith comes in. Because the impossible has been given to Mary. We talked about that before. The impossible has been told will happen to Mary. And Mary's response isn't, yeah, right. Mary's response is, well, of course, this is God. And I am his servant, and I will follow that. Faith, deep and abiding faith in God. A strange being giving an even stranger proclamation, and Mary's response is very simple. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. No question, no argument, no Moses, like, I'm not worthy, please find someone else, back and forth with God. She says, okay, I don't understand what you're saying. Explain some more. Okay. But I believe God. I still don't understand, but I believe God. I have faith that He will do what He's going to say. I am His servant. Faith. We have difficulty with faith. We have difficulty with faith because it means that we have to trust in something that we cannot control, we cannot see or test in some fashion. Faith means being willing to do what we believe God is calling us to do, even if we do not know or understand what all that is going to happen. Faith allows us to question. Faith allows us to be able to be uncertain. Faith allows us to say, what does this all mean? But faith is in the uncertainty still going forward, trusting that God will do what He said He is going to do. Faith is trusting that God will answer those prayers. Faith is trusting that God will show us and reveal to us when we are ready what He is planning to do. Faith is waiting for that patiently. The second character trait that I find in Mary as I go through the narrative and what I see in her story through Scripture is I believe that Mary was humble. Mary had humility about her. You know, I mean, there's all these things. She's got her response there. I am the Lord's servant. There's humility there. But if we go a little bit further from that part of the story, a little bit later she goes to visit Elizabeth. Elizabeth, who is in her own right, a miraculous parent's position, comes along and Mary shows up. And Elizabeth, right off the bat, first greeting, gives Mary the biggest praise. You can put her on the pedestal that no one else could ever get on. If anyone had any opportunity to be proud of their position, Mary was it. I mean, let's face it, who else gets to be mom's or God's mom? No one. That's a pretty big deal. Look at me, I'm God's mom. This baby right here is God. Yeah, just you guys, normal kids. Mine, superstar. I mean, there's the my child is a superstar bumper sticker. She's the one who can carry that, right? But she doesn't respond that way. Elizabeth throws that opportunity at her. And it's a praising God thing. Throws that opportunity at her. And Mary's response is this beautiful song that starts with my soul glorifying the Lord, for He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. And then the whole rest of the song is glorifying God and how good He is. She takes that praise, she takes that words from Elizabeth and say, you are favored, Mary. And Mary says, God is awesome. And I'm just here, being faithful. She doesn't take any of that accolade on herself. She has humility. And it's not a false humility. It's not the kind of humility that says, no. I don't deserve those comments and commentaries. You know, that's not the kind of humility that she has. She has, no, this is all God. And I don't know why I am worthy, but I am so thankful and grateful to be worthy. Humility for us can be difficult as well. We like to get noticed. We like to receive compliments. We like to receive acknowledgement for our achievements. We look forward to receiving those things. They're not bad things to give or to receive. They're good things to give and receive. However, our tendency as human beings is to use those words to inflate our pride. And when we do that, when that happens, we begin to head down a path that puts us as being the one who's responsible for whatever good things happen and not God. Pride works against faith. Mary was faithful and humble. The third trait that I want to draw out and just point out that Mary had was that of devotion. Mary was devoted. And you think, why do I get devoted? Now, of course, she's devoted. She's a mother. How many parents are not devoted to their children? And not just when they're little and they actually need us, but for the entirety of your life, your parents devoted to you. The entirety of your life, parents, you are devoted to your children. You want to see them succeed. You want to see them do well. These sisters, of course, she's going to be devoted to Jesus. But she is even more so than the average parent. Because she is devoted to having a child who, when it cannot be explained how she has become pregnant, she stands in that. The face of that that mocking, the face of that pressure, the face of that almost ostracizing from her community, risking her marriage falling apart, all of these things. She is devoted to what God is doing in her. And we know that she is devoted because after the shepherd's visit, after everything is all said and done, the comment about Mary is that she treasured these things and hid them in her heart. What she was doing was the picture that gets the honored spot on the fridge in her heart. She treasured these things. But her devotion doesn't just end there. Her devotion to Jesus and her son and to what God is doing continues even when it risks the rest of her family, Jesus' brothers, half-brothers, mocking him. She risks following him when her family would say, we don't believe in this Jesus guy. If you keep following him, we're cutting you off too. She stays devoted to Jesus right until the end. We come to the cross. Jesus is on Golgotha. He's on the cross. And who is there at his feet? His mom. Devoted. Where are the disciples? A couple of them are there. Not too many. Where's everyone else? The thousands and the multitudes who followed Jesus and praised him and did hosannas just a week before? They're nowhere near. But she is there. Faithful. To Jesus. Devoted to following him. How is our devotion to God? It's easy to be devoted to someone or to something when things are going well. It's easy to be devoted, to have good devotion to someone when there's no danger or risk to ourselves. But it's a completely different thing when the person or the idea that we are devoted to is being hunted by the authorities and the threat of guilt by association is real. Mary faced all these things and yet she remained faithful, humble, and devoted to Jesus. At the beginning of the message, I asked the question, why Mary? I still don't have an answer to that. I hope that someday when I arrive in heaven, maybe I'll get those answers. But I do find that her character brings a challenge to my own character. Do you feel that same challenge? When God calls you to follow him and to be a part of something that is so much bigger than you can imagine, will you exhibit a Mary kind of character? God is always seeking ways to involve us in the work that he is doing. The work that he is doing in this world and the work that he does in each and every one of us. And so the same question I ask about Mary can also be applied to us. Why me? Why you? Why does God choose us to do what he wants us to do at this moment in time? My hope, as I ask that question about me, why me, is in part because God is developing in me the same qualities and character that Mary had, of faith, of humility, and of devotion to him. But I know he is not done with me, and I know he is not done with you. And my prayer this year as we move forward is that for each of us, we would boldly risk stepping forward, following God and saying, what is it that you have for me? And why me? And I will move forward in that. Risking it all, but seeking God fully in all of it. Let's pray together.